Feeling drained, foggy, or just not yourself? This could be the effects of low testosterone levels. Henry Meds has you covered. Our testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, is available in pills, injectable, or daily creams. Many patients report improvements in energy, mood, and focus. Though individual results may vary, TRT may support sexual function. Go to henrymeds.com/TRT to consult a healthcare provider to see if TRT is right for you. Take the first step to feeling your best again and get $50 off your first month at henrymeds.com/TRT.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. And Kelly, welcome, and I'm glad you're part of the program today. I want to talk about a timely topic, at least timely when we're taping this show, and that is the Trump tariffs. One of the things that is interesting to watch is the some of the fallout and ramifications. We talked about the fact that the shrimp growers in the United States are very excited about this because the tariffs are going to be so high on the foreign-grown shrimp that the U.S. shrimp industry, which has been hammered for years, can get back on its feet. Another area that is kind of interest is what's going to happen in the automobile industry. The Financial Times has an article that says U.S. car dealers fear they will pay the price as Trump tariffs threaten sales. Now, I think that's going to be very true for the Mercedes dealers and the Audi dealers and the Volvo dealers, that they're going to have much higher priced cars because they're going to have to pay a significant tariff. Now, something that I've never quite understood, we have no U.S. cars in our family. We have, I guess, three German cars and one that's made in the U.K., in part because, quite frankly, the foreign cars are pretty well made. And in our case, they last longer. My particular Mercedes has in excess of 200,000 miles, and I do have to spend some money on keeping it fixed. But for the most part, they last a long time, and they're safe and reliable. But I've traveled a lot and I've spent a lot of time in Europe, and I would typically arrange to have a car pick me up at the airport, and they knew exactly where to take me. I kind of learned the hard way once in Istanbul, just getting a car kind of off the street, and I spent the better part of an afternoon trying to talk to a guy who the driver had no English speaking skills whatsoever. And the hotel wasn't that far from the airport, but we spent the better part of the afternoon getting there, including a stop at some other hotel in which the guy knew that the concierge or the front desk clerk could speak English. And so we both went in and talked to the clerk and said, "This is where I want to go." And so he would interpret it for this gentleman, and I finally got there. So I learned, for the little extra money it takes to have a car pick you up at foreign airports, worth it safety-wise and everything else. Now, I say that to say that usually the cars that pick you up are very nice Benzes or BMWs or whatever. And so I would carry on the conversation with the drivers, and the drivers always spoke English. And I'd say, "You know, this is a nice S-Series Mercedes. What year is it?" "Okay, it's a couple years old. And what did you pay for it?" He said, "Well, about $250,000. I said, "Really?" I said, "In the United States, you could buy this car for under $100,000. He says, "Oh, it's the taxes over here. It's the VAT taxes and whatnot and the licenses." And so it struck me odd that cars in Germany, made in Germany, are twice as expensive as a car in the United States. So a lot of that relates to the internal taxes that the German government puts on their own cars. Now, what's going to happen is that when they sell a car from, you can actually, you can go to BMW and order a car in Munich or wherever they make them, and you can order it and then come and see it completed. You get to put it on the boat, I guess, and drive it home. But you can apparently save some taxes that way, some tariffs. But the whole point of this is the effect of these tariffs are, really going to be challenging to figure out what is the long-term and short-term effect. I suspect that people are buying cars off the lot these days because they haven't been priced with the tariffs. Now, an unscrupulous car dealer might take a different approach to that and try to jack up the price, even though they didn't have to pay the additional tariff. So, been an interesting time, but the world economic order is certainly going to be changing quite a bit. Something I found interesting the other day, Kelly, and this is kind of right in your corner of the world, but somebody told me what the price of a new fire engine is. Has Leaf ever shared with you what a new fire truck costs?
He has, but I don't remember.
$1 million.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
$1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought about that a little bit, and you think of all the intricacies. I'm sure you've ridden in a few fire trucks, and the kids have. But they are really special pieces of equipment. But if somebody had asked me what a new fire engine cost, I don't know if I would have said $1 million. I might have said $600,000, $700,000. I'm sure it all depends on where you get the ladder and all the complexities of it. But they're quite a piece of equipment.
Well, and you have to realize there's not many people who make them. So, the demand is there for them to charge what they want. You know, you were talking about just the difference in Germany and other countries with auto dealerships. But did you know that we are $50 billion in debt to Japan and Korea's auto
departments? It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at just the top 20 countries that are holding our debt, Japan is at the top, China. So according to these tariffs, they've been getting off well with the U.S., with the way that we have our tariffs structured in the past and really taking advantage of our economy through their tariffs. So I know everybody's in an uproar right now. It's going to be a long-term goal, but these tariffs really are the wave of the future for us to get back on track for our economy.
When you think of the imbalance in trade, the tariffs we have not been able to collect, and our national debt, to a large extent, we have borrowed our way into this situation. It's pretty pathetic, actually, to think about the economics. You know, it takes somebody like Trump to sit back and think through what has gone on historically in a macro sense to understand, in part, how did this happen? And you know, I saw the furniture industry disappear out of North Carolina. I saw the textile industry disappear out of South Carolina. And, you know, so many of our businesses have been lost, and somehow we've rationalized it by saying, well, yeah, the goods will be cheaper and we can import them because the labor rates are different. Well, some truth in that. Quality isn't so much. But by the same token, we have shipped out our manufacturing base. We've rationalized it with saying, okay, well, we dominate in the service industry or something like that. And but even our semiconductor business, you know, we used to dominate that in the world. And so the reversal and the clawback that he's trying to establish is probably the most dramatic event in the history of, certainly in our lifetime. And, you know, we need to share with our kids and grandkids that you may not realize it, but this is, you know, the history books will talk about, you know, the spring of 2025. So,
Well, and really just looking back at how we have not been fiscally responsible, and now we want to take control of what we can and really look towards the future for our kids and future generations. And, you know, I said it a million times, but it may hurt right now, but it's only to get us back on course. What we should be mad about is the fact that we allowed ourselves to get into the debt that we're in now and to be taken advantage through these tariffs for all of these years. Don't be mad at Trump because he wants to, you know, now kind of even the playing field. But we need to make sure that we are focused on the future and not just. And unfortunately, Steve, we do have a pretty narcissistic society right now. It's pretty selfish. I know I'm even speaking about myself. There are times when I, you know, do things in order to benefit my family, knowing that it may not be the best thing for society. And we should, we got to stop doing that. You know, each and every one of us need to look in the mirror and say, what can we do for our kids' future? And I'm actually going to use that to bring us into the next topic I want to talk about, because our next guest is going to talk a lot about some of these California bills that are affecting our children and our future. And I wanted to bring a few up before we move on and bring her on. She's also a good friend of mine. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, if you're listening and you want to know kind of what is going on, just Google bad bills that have been introduced by California legislators. It will blow your mind if you're not paying attention. It will blow your mind, some of the things that these legislators have brought forth, and that these are some things that we need to go out and be fighting. I actually had on Yvette Corcoran. She ran for Senate in a district in San Francisco against Scott Wiener. And if you are not aware, Scott Wiener is literally the worst, and he puts forth incredibly harmful assembly bills or Senate bills. And one of them right now, not surprisingly, is SB 58, where he wants to legalize mind-altering magic mushrooms for recreational use. And so allowing 21 and older to be able to get these hallucinogenics for recreational use. And it goes on and on, but there are just so many of these bills that we need to be aware of, and because we can't fight them if we're not aware of them. And so, especially as parents, just encouraging everybody who's listening, we're going to bring on Lindsay Jones. Steve, you know, she's one of my bestest friends. Her and I met during COVID when we were really fighting to open up schools, take masks off our kids in order for our kids to learn. I had twins who started kindergarten that year. And so, you know, it's really going to affect them probably for the rest of their life, because those intricate years of their life, their education was altered. And so her and I have been fighting the good fight, going to school boards, working together on a lot of these initiatives just to get people aware, especially parents and really do local action. But she wanted to come on today and talk a lot about this new AB 84. It also has to do with AB 86, and she's the professional. So I'm going to let her, you know, really
All right.
speak to
well,
it.
Well, we got a commercial break, and we can't wait to have her come back.
Yeah, you're going to want to stay tuned.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildren'sFoundation.com.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Well, welcome back, Steve and I. We were just talking a lot about kind of these crazy California bills that have come down the pike over the years, and just really listening, paying attention to what is happening. What is some of the legislation that we're going to have to deal with, whether you voted in, you know, these senators or these assemblymen? You're going to have to deal with it in California, and your kids' future is dependent on it. So, Steve, I was telling you, we're going to have my amazing friend, Lindsay Jones. She is a teacher, a business owner, a mom of five. She does all that as a mom of five. She's the founder of Fallbrook Freedom Fighters, and she's just a huge advocate for our kids, common sense, and best of all, she loves Jesus. So, Lindsay, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Steve. How are you both doing?
Good, good.
We're doing good, Lindsay. Thanks for being with us. I know that you and I have just been talking a lot about what it means to be brave moms in this society, moms and dads, parents, and kind of what that looks like as Christians. And I know that you are very outspoken about your views. You definitely want to protect the children. And you brought to my attention this new bill, the California AB 84, which I think is in conjunction with the AB 86. So can you just first start off? I know we've had you on the program before. I really want to dive into these bills, but before we start, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got so intricately involved in being an advocate for our kids.
Well, Kelly, I am a mom of five kids and a teacher. And, you know, when I went through, you know, my credentialing program, I made a promise that I would every year, you know, retake my mandated reporter training, and that I would protect kids at all costs. And as I have moved throughout my career, I've seen more and more where legislation and, you know, the state has come down on kids, and they've infringed upon parental rights, and they're not doing what is best for kids. And it is almost to the point now where you are literally getting rid of parental rights, and you are completely hypersexualizing kids, and then also getting rid of school choice, which puts parents in a corner, really, where we can't even make decisions for our children, and our rights are getting taken away. So I can't stay silent. I'm not the kind of person that likes to stay silent. I really got active in 2020 when they kept kids out of school and they masked kids. And ever since I've been on the road to try to stand in the gap for children and their families. And so I started an Instagram page called Fallbrook Freedom Fighters, and God has been opening doors to allow me to at least have some sort of a small voice to build a hedge of protection around my local community ever since.
And Lindsay, I know that, like I've said before, you're very outspoken on what is right, what is true, what is godly. And I know that you've had a lot of backlash due to that, and you've stayed strong and you've stayed the course, knowing that this is what God has called you to. But talk to us a little bit about that experience for you. What is some of the backlash that you get, you know, during COVID, but also for Fallbrook Freedom Fighters when you're out there literally trying to just advocate for our kids and say, hey, this is common sense. Let's care about it. Let's bring back the family values. You know, let's really put an emphasis on parental control. We had these kids. We actually chose to have these kids. Can we please say what happens in their school, what happens in their life? So what are some of the kickbacks that you've had from people who have disagreed with you?
I don't even know if it's even disagreeing with me. I'm sure most people might disagree with some of the things that I advocate for, but people don't like to be uncomfortable, you know, And it is uncomfortable, and it really takes people, when you're speaking out against injustices or unrighteousness, what happens is it puts people out of their bubble and makes them realize that their worldview or their trust in government or even church might be, you know, aggregated really. And that's uncomfortable for people. So I've noticed that as I've spoken out against these things, and I'm pretty like, I pursue it pretty heavily because I don't like it. It makes me, you know, it makes me feel sad. Satan is a great deceiver, and I see it's happening in our schools, even in our churches, and then also in our politics. And people just really feel uncomfortable, and it's easier for them to be like, you know, you're a loudmouth rather than hear the message. So I don't fault people for it, but yeah, I've certainly had a lot of backlash. I've had people, you know, kind of distance themselves from me. I've had friends, you know, kind of move away from me, and I don't necessarily see it as, you know, terrible, because it's uncomfortable to be faced with the fact that, like, yes, there is serious evil in this world, and we need to stand up against it. And people often, I've noticed, kind of don't like to hear that.
Yeah. And it is. It's just speaking truth. It's not. And I know you very well. You do this in love, and you come about it in a loving way. And I think that sometimes, like you said, people don't want to hear that truth. It's very hard for them to see that maybe they were wrong. Maybe they've seen things the wrong way for many years. It's hard to come to that conclusion. But looking at each of these bills that we now see coming down through California legislation, you and I have been really shell-shocked, I think, since before COVID, to just understand what is actually, whether it gets approved or not, to know that there are people in our legislation who want these bills to be passed. And they really, you know, one of the things that I want you to speak to is they title it so funny, you know, and not funny, it's on purpose. They title it things like school accountability, you know, this is charter school oversight. This is, school financial and performance oversight. They use these words that you go, yeah, we need that. Absolutely. But then you read the fine print and realize it's quite the opposite, actually. And they are trying to come in and take away funding for charter schools. They're trying to take away parental rights. So what are we seeing right now with this California AB 84?
Okay. So the ones, yeah, California AB 84 is extremely disheartening, because as it stands right now, charter schools in California offer families choice. So we've seen that public education doesn't necessarily work. However, you have families that pay in, actually a ton of their taxes go to education. So almost, I can't remember the exact math, but a lot of your property taxes go towards education. And so everybody's paying into education, right? So what charter schools do is say, okay, this public school might not be a great option for you, but we do have this charter, this option where you can still take your educational funds, you can use them, and your child can get an education that would work for them. Homeschool charters are like the next level. What happens is you're a family, you have a mom at home, you want to homeschool your child. Well, now you get the opportunity to use those educational funds that you pay into, right? And you can, it doesn't have to be religious. It actually can't be religious, but you take those funds and you can purchase curriculum. You get a teacher. You you follow the state standards. You basically have to take the state assessments. You get support and you utilize those funds to homeschool your child. So it is this growing movement that has grown really ever since 2015 with the vaccinations and then 2020 with the shutdowns. It has been this movement that has grown and taken over California, and the homeschool charter world is really awesome because you still get to use your educational funds and homeschool your child at home. You can't use religious curriculum, but you can purchase curriculum that works for your child. So it's truly individualized. So like if your kid really doesn't, learn well from the textbook, maybe they do more hands-on stuff. You can kind of individualize your child's education and they can meet the state standards in a way that works for them. Well, what happened was Gavin Newsom, he lied about the budget last year, and the entire 2024 Medi-Cal and education were kind of at odds and fighting for money really that wasn't there. So we already knew that the education budget and the Medi-Cal budget, to be fair, was going to be cut. Well, even further, what happened was now California education is looking at getting nervous about losing money because of, Trump cutting funding. So what they're doing, what they always do, is they look at charter schools as a low-laying fruit. And what they do is they come and try to cut charter schools. So what they're going to try to cut homeschool charters. So AB 84 will extremely reduce that choice for families. And it's looking like they'll put a lot more, regulation on homeschool charter, make it almost impossible for them to run. They already have really, really strict regulation on homeschool charters as is. As you can imagine, obviously, like we have to make sure that we do well checks and all of that. But it's going to be almost impossible for these homeschool charters to run. And what will happen is what they're hoping is that these families will throw their kids back into charter schools or public schools, and these public schools will get the funding back. But I think what you're going to see is you're going to have a lot more families file private school affidavits or leave the state of California as a whole. So it's really a mess.
We're listening today to Lindsay Jones, who she and Kelly worked together quite a bit on education for children and within a Christian framework. And I actually printed out, Lindsay, the 75 pages of AB 84 as amended to date. And, as a CPA, I read a lot of complicated documents. Reading this thing, I made it through about three pages and was pretty cross-eyed. But it looks like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it looks like it puts a heavy amount of auditing and reporting and whatnot that would take the average homeschool environment and crush them just from the avalanche of oversight. One of the things that I find interesting is which state is worse, California or Illinois? And, Illinois, as you know, has also, and they've made a lot of headlines recently, they have tried to put in place HB 2827 that would bring all homeschoolers and Christian school students under the jurisdiction of the Department of Education in Illinois. And it would require to fill out certain forms and declarations that would basically probably obviate your Christian faith. And if you don't do it, it's a Class C misdemeanor and penalties, and you could spend 30 days in jail. Mm-hmm. So the Baptists for Biblical Values, which is an active group that's been Brad Cranston, he's been on our show, they've been very, very active protesting this, and the news has carried a lot of stories about this bill and its refusal in Illinois because people are just not interested in support. They want the freedom. California, when we came here 35 years ago, we homeschooled one of our daughters through a program here. And I was actually kind of amazed. The home we bought had six children in it. Half of them were homeschooled, and half went to Santa Fe Christian. But I was amazed at the freedom 35 years ago that California had. There was a person who kind of provided administrative oversight and kept the grades and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, we were free to teach our daughter, who's now a doctorate, it looks like they're really trying to, tell me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, put that whole group out of business.
Absolutely. What they're trying to do is get those kids that they lost back and put them back into public schools. So, what they're doing is they're making it absolutely difficult for charter schools to run. And honestly, there's tons of auditing already involved, which is good. You want there to be accountability. I think it's really important that, you know, these homeschool charters are audited. But at the same token, you don't want to make it so challenging and so hard and remove, you know, the financial, you know, finances and put in so much red tape that they can't run. So you're absolutely right. You're hitting the nail on the head. They're basically seeming to want to remove parental choice and the option for homeschool in California.
Well, and we did see, you know, we all pushed for school choice and we were working really hard to have that pass. It did not pass. And now it seems like they're almost taking it in the opposite direction. And that's what's so disheartening, is that we were hoping as parents to have more choice in our schools. And I mean, we all know that competition is good, you know, and with supply and demand and competition, that makes those public schools thrive. It's better for our kids and it's better for our society. It's better for our future. And this bill is just going to take us back. This is really going to pull back. And I mean, and keep in mind too, Lindsay and I talk about this all the time, is that if you can homeschool your kids, of course, please homeschool your kids or put them in a private school. If you can afford it, or if you can be home with them. We don't all want our kids for 6 hours a day to be, you know, taught by the government. And we have found other ways to do it that is feasible for those of us who maybe can't stay home and teach our kids, homeschool them. And it's through the charter schools. And it's affordable. You actually get money. You're able to do a lot of things for your kids at home. And like you said, you can tailor their education, Lindsay. You were talking about there's a lot of tailoring to their education by picking the curriculum, picking their teacher, and then being involved as a parent. And you have a choice. Do you want to be fully homeschooled? Do you want to be flex, where it's some in school, some online, some at home? There's a lot of choices. And so this is just their grab, in my opinion, to make sure that they push more kids back into public school. And I don't think that, like you said, I don't think it's going to be in order to improve public schools. I don't think they're going to take that extra money and improve our public schools. We've never seen that happen. But what are some ways, Lindsay, that anybody listening and really wants to get involved and they want to stop this AB 84, what are some things that they, what options do they have to stop this coming to pass?
Well, I do really quickly, before I give that, I want to kind of volley off what you just said, Kelly, where, yeah, it gives families choice. It makes kids have that extra option. It really allows for especially kids who, like, lower socioeconomic children or children who are remote. It affords them the opportunity to have that homeschool experience if they can't afford it. So that's a really important point to make mention of. And then on the flip side too, I will answer your question. What we really hope people do is first spread the word. You can share, you know, I made a post about it on Fallbrook Freedom Fighters on Instagram. You can share the information with your friends and family. You can go door to door and just inform them, you know, this is happening. Or write your assemblymen. And on my Instagram, and maybe I can get you all for for your website, there is a one click where you just make write down your name, your address, and it's a one click campaign where you can basically let your assembly members know, Senate and the Senate know, in California, this is not something I want. What they're doing is removing choice, and one thing that they're adding on to AB 84, in addition, I should say, is AB 86 and AB 727, which are absolutely grotesque, which I can get into right now if you want me to.
Yeah.
Okay. So AB 86, we all know that California Healthy Youth Act in 2015 was passed. And it was passed that mandated that schools teach in 7th through 12th grade. It's basic sexual education, but it's kind of to the nth degree. What happens with the California Healthy Youth Act is students learn about the importance of, and please forgive me for saying some of these words. I really apologize. I know that this is a Christian radio program. They teach children about masturbation. They teach children about anal sex. They teach children about LGBTQ and how you can how any sex that is consensual is good. And this is taught 7th through 12th grade. Well, AB 86, which, by the way, we do have the option right now to opt our kids out of it. But if you don't know what the California Healthy Youth Act you might not opt your child out of that. And your child will be getting that curriculum 7th through 12th grade. Well, that's been going on since 2015. Now they're presenting a bill called AB 86, which will take the California Healthy Youth Act and put it in kindergarten through eighth grade.
Wow.
So you're going to have kindergartners getting this vile, hyper-sexualized curriculum, which teaches about LGBTQ, teaches that there's more than seven genders, teaches about masturbation, and all sorts of other kind of vile information that they will be getting from the age of 5 years old. There's another bill, AB 727, which will require every school, public or private, to issue on a child's ID card, not just the suicide hotline number, but the hotline number and the information for the Trevor Project, which I don't know if you know what the Trevor Project is, but the Trevor Project is an LGBTQ. They call it the suicide, you know, hotline for LGBTQ, but there's clubs. There's counselors, and there's all sorts of resources for LGBTQ, including loving your labels, affirming LGBTQ, clinging to hope. If you only have one gender or you're agendered, it teaches them about that. There's clubs that teach you that if you don't love your dad, it's a hate your dad club. There's a we don't need mom club. It teaches about suffrage and how women's suffrage was so important and women's rights is so important. Election outcomes, it's very anti-Trump. And all of this is what kids will be forced to get with AB 727, where they will have access to the Trevor Project on every single child's student ID card in California.
You're listening today to Lindsay Jones, who is providing some eye-opening revelations about upcoming legislation, as well as some existing legislation that every parent ought to know. And, you know, I think you're right. Kelly mentioned that, you know, they use titles that sound, youth and health and accountability, all these things that are really deceptive because, first of all, the people writing this stuff are, for the most part, spiritually dead and dark, and they don't even know what ethics is. But you know, it's a disturbing thing in California. And you know, something I would say is that we need to have. I like one pagers. You know, this bill 84, 75 pages, and it includes all the amendments and everything. And you know, we need some one pagers on these bills that we can get to parents easily and quickly. And through the churches. Now, this is a perfect example Kelly and Lindsay, where the churches, the pastors should be taking the lead, getting this stuff to the parents through the youth ministries and whatever to, educate them and protest against this. Now, it can be done. Our good friend Brad Cranston just sent me his newsletter for March and April, and it starts out with truth prevails in Iowa. In a matter of 9 days, from start to finish, their bill, SF-418, passed through the legislature and signed into law by the governor. The new law defines the terms male, female, woman, girl, man and boy, mother and father, in agreement with truth, science, and a biblical worldview. Furthermore, and just as importantly, the bill removed gender identity from Iowa's list of protected classes. That was necessary not only because to reject that the gender can be changed, but also to preempt lawsuits from the left targeting recently enacted laws that ban hormone therapy and gender mutilation surgeries for minors and forbid male participants in female sports and access to female restrooms and locker rooms. Imagine that in 9 days. 9 days that was passed in Iowa. The radical LGBTQ activists understood the significance of this bill. And throughout that week, those 9 days, hundreds protested, came to the Capitol, filling the hallways with mindless chants, vulgarities, and cursing. However, the legislature, led by a majority with a strong biblical worldview, was undeterred, and the governor, Kim Reynolds, quickly followed suit by adding her signature to the common sense legislation. Praise the Lord. So this shows you, Iowa used to be a very blue state. Mm-hmm. Brad Cranston, who's been on this program and involved in our PAC, was a pastor and stepped down, Kelly and Lindsay, from the pulpit and went and set up shop in Des Moines, in the Capitol, and spent the next 10 years talking to legislators, getting some pastors into the legislature. And this state quickly, well, not quickly, but within a decade, went from being blue to deep red. And they don't have any elected, except for maybe the controller or something, any elected Democrats, and they have biblical. So 9 days, they got rid of this. You contrast that, Lindsay, to what you're talking about in California, and it's just shocking that we're in the same country.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
It's so true. I would echo exactly what you're saying when Kelly asked me earlier, what can I do to get involved? Please contact your pastor. If at the very least he has his congregation pray against, just, this is not a left versus right, Republican versus Democrat. This is pure evil. It's satanic and demonic. And, you know, it is no secret that Satan, if he has these kids, he has them for life, and better a millstone to be tied around our neck. So it is so imperative that people speak to their pastors and ask their pastors, you know, what are you willing to do to get involved? Can we have a prayer meeting here? Can I set up shop and have, you know, some flyers out in front of the congregation? Is there a way that I can come and speak, you know, maybe at a youth group, like you're saying, or, you know, maybe before church, we pray all the time for, you know, other countries, and we pray for, you know, missionaries. Is there a time that we can just be praying for the legislators in California? And then in informing their congregation, because you're absolutely right. This is evil. It's pure evil. And, my heart truly is breaking for the kids in this state, and especially the kids who don't get to know Jesus, whose family isn't taking them to church. You know, they're going to school thinking that, okay, I can access the Trevor Project if I'm feeling suicidal, or, you know, this is totally normal. Consensual sex is fine. It's not rape. And that is nothing little ear should ever hear. I don't even want to hear it, you know? And so it breaks my heart that we have such a strong Christian population in the state, and 65% of Christians don't vote.
That's a big problem.
And Satan's made it deceptive, like, oh, it's wrong to say that Republicans and Democrats versus each other. You just have to look at the actual facts. Like, let's look and see what these legislators are proposing. And you don't even have to call it red versus blue. You can just simply say, this is evil. I can call this evil. And God calls us to. We're to be the salt and the light. And so that is one huge thing that you can do is speak to your pastors, find out what they're willing to do to get involved. And if they're not willing to get involved, sit back and please pray for their hearts to be softened, because we are watching evil take over this country, this state at least. And we cannot sit back and let it happen, especially if we're believers. Otherwise, there's blood on our hands, in my opinion.
Yeah, yes, it's interesting, Kelly and Lindsay. This recently, the elders on Sunday morning rotate and do kind of what they call a call to worship, elder prayer. And so this last Sunday, I was asked to do that, and I prayed for a number of things in our church and for families and named specifically some of the political folks we've had on the radio. But also mentioned, I said, let's be thankful that we have a president who has defunded Planned Parenthood, and and also reenacted the Hyde Amendment, and and went on and sat down, and so I tend to stand kind of towards the exit door on Sundays, and I shake hands with folks and talk to them, and and some folks came by and said, really enjoyed the prayer. But this one individual came and said, you know, you really need to stop talking about politics in your prayer. And I said, well, what do you mean? These are, God asks us to pray for leaders. No, what you said about Planned Parenthood, that was terrible. And I looked at this individual and I said, look, Planned Parenthood is the chief architect of abortion in this country. And that is taking the life of God's creation. That's not a Republican-Democrat issue. It's not a political issue. It is a moral, spiritual issue. And I just, really stood up to this individual. So I thought, well, it's interesting that we have Christians that can actually think that way and come to our church on a regular basis. But so I talked to the pastor later, and I said, and he goes, stop. He said, I think I know who you're talking about. And he said, this individual gave him a lot of grief during the November 5th election and stuff, but it's a measure of how weak Christians are in this state to think that, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood isn't something we should be thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of speaks to what I wanted to bring up real quick before we wrap up this show today, guys, is that, you know, there are so many Christians out there, and bless their souls, I don't think that they mean this, for harm, but it's causing harm. We need to be able to speak truth. We need to stand up to harmful things that are going to harm our children. We don't just need to, we are called to. We are called to stand up and to, you know, really stand before our children between evil. And one of the bills I just want to bring to everybody's attention that I'm sure everybody knows about, but AB 957 is just an incredible example of that, where it's the family law for the gender identity, and how we really need, again, they go ahead and wrap it in good words, right? That we need to make sure we protect the kids. But what it really does is it rips the kids away from the parents, and then they can go and get gender affirmation procedures done behind the parents' back. And so these are a lot of these laws that we just, I think a decade ago, 20 years ago, we would just laugh. No way, that'll never happen. Not here on our soil. But this is happening. They're progressive. They're going to keep progressing. They want to go further. So next time you think, hey, this is not a big deal, or it doesn't affect me or my kids, know that it will one day. And we need to stop it before it starts. And I think these are just prime examples. But Lindsay, before we wrap up, any other closing words that you want to send out there?
Thank you for having me. Please pray for our kids and find a way to get involved and get active. You can follow me on Fallbrook Freedom Fighters on Instagram, and I have some resources, really easy to follow papers, pages that you can just pull up, just like you're saying, Steve, that will just be easy to understand these bills.
And I do recommend that. Lindsay has kept You keep me in the light of what's going on, because half the times I get busy, and I know you do too, but you're such an advocate for this. You're constantly, you have your nose down in the news and you're figuring out what's going on. You are networking with people. So she has so much information. Go and check her out at Fallbrook Freedom Fighters on Instagram. So thanks for being with us, Lindsay. Absolutely love you and appreciate all that you're doing.
All right. Well, stay tuned. And Lindsay, again, we're going to have you back on the show. You are our legislative watchdog.
So, she needs to be another special regular.
That's right. Special regular. All right. Thank you again for listening, everybody.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildren'sFoundation.org.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Study nursing, healthcare, or business online with West Coast University. Their Master of Science in Nursing program has 6 specialization options, from family practice to nursing education and adult care. They also offer MBAs and MHAs with several different tracks to choose from. Your future is just a click away at West Coast University. Find out more at westcoastuniversity.edu. WCU cannot guarantee employment.